For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This world of ours, it fluctuates, doesn't it? I remember being told around Christmas time by a parishioner how very peaceful a time it was in Christmas. The most peaceful that she had ever remembered in her life. Then Lent came along, and it seems to me, hearing so many of your stories, and so many stories of the faithful throughout the country that I have to listen to, it seems to me that this has been one of the most trying of all Lents within remembrance. One trial after another, one sickness after another, maybe the loss in one way or another of a relative, maybe family divisions and arguments and corrections that we've received. And there's been, it seems, one thing right after another, and it doesn't stop. And you expect it, all of this, during Lent. That just seems to be how it goes. During the season of Lent, it is one of the it is one of the most grace-filled seasons of the year. And so the devil is always extremely active during that season of Lent, so that it is not such a fruitful time after all. But Lent has ended. We're now deep into the season of Easter. In fact, Easter season ends in just about another week or so, and we enter into the season of Pentecost. And yet, the crosses, they just keep coming, don't they? One after another. Well, sometimes when we see all of this before us, it's important just to go back to basics. The basic teachings of our faith. And these, if we remember to do that in times of trial, they console us so very much that it gives us just enough courage to keep pushing forward and not just to give everything up. It's not worth it. It gives us just enough courage. And so I was thinking of that as we read in the Gospel, the Father hath loved you because you have first loved me. And it reminded me of the Sacred Heart devotion and all that this devotion teaches us. Matters of faith, truly. We traditional Catholics, I think, we tend to hear, whenever we hear, oh, God loves you, we tend to sort of blow it off. How can he love me with all of my sins and all of my imperfections? Or then some of us are so fed up with the Novus Ordo and how they have done away with any true notion of love. And they just say that, well, God accepts you for whatever you are with all of your mortal sins. Oh, you don't need to change. You're good just the way you are. And it's all of this ooey-gooey sentimental type of love, which in fact is not love at all. So we don't often like to hear that God loves us. But yet, here's the thing. This has been defined by our faith that God loves us from all eternity without any bounds, without any limitation. Just as he had no beginning and will not have any end, so also his love for us has no beginning and will never have any end. He has loved with an everlasting love. But man, his love, it's fickle sometimes. It's a finite love. And man's love betrayed God. And God, seeing our pitiful state, how we lost his friendship and committed an infinite offense and accrued an infinite debt, he then had a chance to prove his infinite love for mankind. But first, what is this infinite offense? Well, did you know that in a sense, every sin that we commit is an infinite offense against God? Why? I'm not speaking merely about the worst sins, heresy and apostasy, or even hatred of God, even deicide, the sin of the Jews when they crucified their Savior, their Messiah, and ours. Even the tiniest white lie or the tiniest fit of impatience has an infinite degree in it, you might say. Why? Because sometimes the offense is measured by the one who is offended. It is one thing if one brother slaps his other brother on the face. It's quite another when the young boy slaps his mother on the face. It is one thing for one king to yell at another king's ambassador. It is another for him to yell directly at the king himself. And each of those offenses is punished accordingly, according to the one who is offended. And that is why each one of our sins is infinite, because God is an infinite being. And so anything that we do against him is infinite. And that is why our debt that we have accrued is also infinite. Can never be paid by ourselves. Were each one of us, from this point on to the end of his life, to offer perfect love to our blessed Lord, it would not make up sufficiently for the one single white lie that one person commits. Were we all to have our heads chopped off by ISIS for love of God, that too, that martyrdom, would not be enough to make up for even one tiny white lie. And that is why, and this is where the love of the Sacred Heart comes in, though we have betrayed the love of God for us, he will never betray us, because it was love that made the second person of the Trinity to become man. He came to pay our debt because we could not pay our own debt. Sic dilexit mundum. He so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son. And then this Son, becoming man, died on the cross. And what do we read in St. John? Greater love than this no man hath, that he lay down his life for his friends. And there you have it, the very words of the Holy Ghost, that he lay down his life for who? For his friends. He refers to us, who are truly his enemies, who have sinned against him thousands and perhaps millions of times, yet we're still his friends, amici in Latin. He was to repair this offense in such a beautiful manner by becoming man. St. John referred to this mystery as a divine mystery which is beyond reason, but not above it, to become man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But yet another truth of this love, we've already said it's everlasting. There was never a time that God did not love each of us. And there never will be a time when he will not love us. But remember, too, the love of the Sacred Heart is not merely generic. It's not generic in any way, because God is not content with the general love of mankind or what have you. His infinite love is directed to each individual person. You are loved by God. You see, you might walk through the streets of the busy streets of downtown Milwaukee, and this or that person would never even know that you existed, even though they walk right by you. But at this moment, you are in the mind of God and being loved by God at this very moment. You are never forgotten by Him. Another truth of the love of God is that it is so intense and it is so burning that it does not lessen even though He loves more people. So in other words, it is not like man's love. When we love one person, we can love him with all of our heart. But if you add two or three other people on that list of people that you love, well, then your love becomes divided, and you can only give so much to each one. It is limited. It is finite. But not so with God. It does not matter how many people are on the face of the earth, how many more people are born each day. God loves us all infinitely and perfectly. You might say a good analogy is this: to compare the love of God for man to the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun are not diminished when they are given to more people. The warmth that the sun puts off is not diminished by the mere fact that there are so many people to warm. No, instead, it warms them all equally, and it shines on them all equally. And so also the love of the Sacred Heart for each of us. And then also the love of the Sacred Heart, this is something we forget. It is so deep and so personal that it seems that all of His divine love is centered and focused upon you in particular, as if only you and He existed. And so we can understand what St. Paul said: He loved me and delivered Himself for me. You know what the touching thing is about this quote? It's a detail that most of us would just sort of overlook. The direct object, let's test your grammar skills. The direct object in that sentence is in the singular, not the plural. He loved me, not us. He loved me and delivered Himself for me. As He hung on that cross for those 3 long hours, suffocating, and blood not dripping but pouring out of His wounds, He was doing it all not for us, but for me and for you and you and each person individual. His love is a personal love for each of us. There's another way to understand the love of God for us, and that is to think of whole Easter, you might say the Easter mascot, the sheep, the little lamb that gets lost, and how the good shepherd goes out in search of it. Well, this good shepherd, our blessed Lord, knows and loves every sheep in His flock immediately and distinctly. He knows all of your problems. He knows all of your trials, all of those pains that you are trying so hard to hide from others. God knows them all. You are His sheep. You might wander off from time to time and find yourself in a life of sin or something else, a dangerous area of your life. But so important are you, the little lamb, and so great is His love for you as His lamb that He leaves all the other 99 in the desert to go out in search of you. And when He finds it and He happily puts it on His shoulders and saves it by carrying it back to the flock, He does this as if there were no other lamb to take care of or which He loved so tenderly. This truly is the Sacred Heart. Behold His love. But we are on Mother's Day, and we're all of us thinking about the love of a mother for her children. It has to be one of the most beautiful things this side of heaven, is the love of a mom for her children. What is love? Love is more than just some faint emotion, a feeling that comes and goes according to your moods. Love is of the will. Love is proven by deeds. What have your mothers done to prove their love? Think of all the sleepless nights when they have to take care of a newborn baby. Think of all of those busy days cooking meals, having them ready on time for so that the kids can get off to school on time, or when the husband comes home that he can eat something right out as soon as he gets home. Think of the doing of the dishes and the washing of the laundry so that the children can have clean clothes. And think of all the times that the worrying mother has sat by the bedside of a sick child praying for the restoration of health. All of these sacrifices, but yet the love of a mother for her child, remember this, it's only a reflection of the love of God for us. And on the contrary, the love of God towards us is the perfection taken to an infinite degree of the love that a mother has for her child. And so if you ever doubt the love of God for you, think of how your mother has loved you, or how you mothers love your children. If you can say that you love your children, then that automatically means that God has that same perfection in Him, but to an infinite degree, that He loves us as His children. Now, to conclude, how do we repay this love of the Sacred Heart? Well, love always demands love, and love is proven by deeds. Our Lord tells us in the Gospel, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We'll start there, as just being faithful Catholics, faithful to the Ten Commandments of God and the Six Commandments of Holy Mother Church. We'll be happy if we can even do that. But especially today, children, let's remember that fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. And the second thing we can do is to trust. Remember that in all of your trials that you're enduring right now, that they are arranged from all eternity by a God that loves you, that has your best interest in mind at all times. Trust. And the more you worry, and the more pains you have in your heart, or in your head, or wherever they might be, kneel down and say a prayer of confidence. Confiance. It is the hand of Jesus that guides all things. That is the lovely words of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Confidence. It is the hand of Jesus that guides all things. And if we remember that, then we'll always have peace of heart. But on this Mother's Day, let us think of what our mothers have done for us. And then put this, apply it to the Sacred Heart. And think of all that the Sacred Heart has done to prove His love for all of you. May God love you always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.